All right, family, do me a favor. Let's go back quickly to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And while you're going there, everybody just say it out loud. Say, eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to receive, a mouth to confess all the good things Christ has already provided for me. Go to 1 Timothy 6. We're continuing our series called Be Rich. And we always tell you, it's not get rich, it's called be rich, because in Christ you are rich. That's what we've been declaring. And last week we just established a very important reality. And if you've missed any of this series, you got to go back and check it out. You are rich. Let me tell you, you are rich. You are blessed. You are. And we talked about three dangers of being rich. Because remember, I said good news. I got good news and I got bad news. The good news is you're rich. The bad news is you're rich. And why do I say that? Because when you understand, wow, there's responsibility on this, all of a sudden I realize, my goodness, I am rich, but it can hinder my dependence. It can heighten distractions in my life. It can hijack direction. We talked about that. So you're rich. So the question now is, what are we going to do with it to honor God? And again, we're building every week, but I have such a gift for you today. Joining me today is Brad Carter. And if you don't know, we are a multi-locational church and more locations coming. We got some big announcements coming in the next few days. But he pastors our Calvary, North Carolina location. It was incredible. A few weeks ago, I was preaching there and there's all these North Carolina, but that place was filled. And there was I looked out and there was some folks from our Fort Worth location. They were in North Carolina on vacation or something. They were at the North Fort Worth location. And then we were there representing this location, Irving. I mean, it was like a family reunion. But Pastor Brad Carter, he pastors Calvary, North Carolina. And I'll never forget, October of 2017, I was invited to preach in Alabama. And before going, the pastor there asked me if it would be all right if a friend of his who pastored in North Carolina could come and meet me. And his name was Brad Carter. And I was so honored that someone would spend their time and their money to come, I don't know, 750 miles to spend time with me. And I said yes. And little did I know that that yes would change my life and ministry forever. And in just a few short years, Brad and Kayla and their children have become family, not just to me and my family, but to the Calvary family. And what they bring to the table is so great. And I appreciate, let me tell you what I appreciate. You know, the metrics for us have changed since coming into the gospel. And I just want to say today, I know you're a good preacher. I know you've built an incredible church. But I just want you to know, I appreciate how you love your wife and family. And I appreciate how you honor. Nobody honors like you. I appreciate how you excel and have excellence in ministry. I appreciate your persistence. I appreciate your discernment. I appreciate your commitment to staying connected even at a distance. You're hundreds and hundreds of miles away, but you stay more connected to me than some folks that are two blocks away. And I want to say thank you. And nobody has fought harder to stay connected. And I have been humbled and I have been honored. And when I go, I never receive more honor than when I'm there. And Brad, you are a gift from God and church. Would you give a welcome to one of our location pastors, Pastor Brad Carter? Come on, he's a gift. We honor you.
Good morning, Calvary. It's always a blessing, Pastor, to be with you. Pastor Kim, we love you, love your family, love our Calvary Irving family. Hey, real quick, would you guys give God some praise for the best pastors on the planet? Seriously, we love you. We love you. Well, Pastor, I'm honored to be here, but I want to jump right into this.
Yeah, we got to.
We had a good time last service. Let's roll.
I had fun. Okay, so we're in this series, Be Rich and God's Will. So we've been really becoming more and more aware. Okay, so it's God's will for me to increase, God's will for me to prosper, to be blessed, and all this stuff, not for selfish gain. That's not what this is about. Really, we understand we're blessed so we can be a blessing. In other words, we get to establish his covenant on the earth. And so the Word of God tells us God wants us to increase. He wants us, the Bible says, to have more than enough, to have abundance for every good work. That's what Paul says, for every good work. And the way he does it is very naturally, seemingly, I think, insignificant ways that we almost miss. It's like unspectacular yet supernatural. Listen to me. I think some of us are really missing it because you're spending your life looking for the spectacular and don't realize God moves in the supernatural. Come on. You're waiting around for something spectacular, and then you look back and go, wow, God, you were just faithful. I didn't even notice it. It was just supernatural. And in these times, I don't know what's next, church. You better hear me. I'm not a prophet of doom and gloom, but I do not know what's next. I don't know what's next for the finances. I don't know what's next in this world. I don't know what's next politically. I have no clue. I don't know what's next. And in times like this, we need to learn how to rely on God. Because I'm telling you, everything's shifting, everything changing, up, down, in, out. You don't know what's next. We have got to learn. I said this year, we want to establish ourselves in faith, not fear. We want to establish ourselves. And so today we're going to deal with trust. I want to deal with trust. And when I thought about this, I thought about, some of you may remember this, especially you parents, but when my kids were little, they loved going to a place. How many of your parents, show me if you remember a place called Chuck E. Cheese's? Come on. Where a kid can be a kid and parents lose their mind. Come on. But think about that for just a minute. They love the games. They love the rides. They love the food. They love the prizes. The entertainment. But how many of y'all remember this? I haven't been there in so long. I don't even know if they do it anymore. But old school folks, how many of y'all remember these right here? Tickets. Come on, somebody. I don't think they do that anymore. I think you get like a debit card or something. But old school folk, if you remember tickets, say yes. Come on. And so because I was a rich dad, I would buy each one of my kids, you ready for this, $5 in tokens. And I would tell them, okay, you got 2 hours. Go have fun and don't come back. Just get away. 2 hours, go. And y'all, it wasn't 2 hours, 10 minutes they were back. And I'd actually get excited because they'd have like 152 million of these tickets. And so I know, wow, now we get to go pick some incredible prizes. But you know, you know what's interesting? They take those tickets and all those tickets, you know, we would leave with incredible prizes. Two plastic spider rings and a slinky for 152 million tickets. Are y'all getting this?
And some Tootsie Rolls.
And some Tootsie Rolls. And the slinky, the plastic slinky would get tangled in the car before we even got home. Tickets, watch. We loved them when we were kids, you know, taking them to Chuck E. Cheese's. And we love, watch, here's what's crazy, y'all kids. We love them when we're grown. Watch, the tickets may have changed.
Right.
But the love for them hasn't. Like kids, we think if we can get enough tickets, see, if I can just get enough of these tickets, then I can exchange them, watch, for prizes that'll make me happier.
Come on.
And the problem with all of that is that the Bible says wealth is deceitful. If you looked at Matthew 13, and we're not going to have time to get into all of it, but it says the deceitfulness of riches, watch, chokes and suffocates the word. Watch, the word is the seed. When the seed hits the heart, the soil of the heart, boy, that brings great harvest. That's why we've been teaching it's all by grace, received by faith. So wealth promises things, but it just can't deliver. And so I want us to look again at 1 Timothy 6, again, 17, 18, 19. We were there last week. Again, it's written to us. So don't read this and go, well, it's not me because it's written to the rich. No, this is us.
That's right.
This is us. Go back and watch. You'll begin to see who you truly are.
Yep.
Some of you don't believe it, but you'll see who you truly are.
That's right.
Look at this, 1 Timothy 6, 17. Command those young preachers. He's writing to a young preacher.
Yeah.
You tell the people in your church, those who are rich in this present world, not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God who richly provides us, look at this, with everything for our enjoyment.
Yeah.
Isn't that good? God says, I want you to prosper because I want you to enjoy it. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. We talked about that last week. Quickly, verse 17. Look at it. Come on, lower floor, upper tier. Look at it. 17. Your wealth comes from God, and He wants you to enjoy it. If you're glad for that, somebody say yes. Okay, He's blessed you with everything you have. But look at 18. Please underline it. With that blessing comes responsibility. You are blessed, but with it comes responsibility. And in no way am I against wealth. As a matter of fact, I want you to prosper in every area of your life. That is my prayer as your pastor. And my prayer is that God blesses the people of Calvary abundantly, not merely for personal gain, but so that we can be a blessing and change our world. And when we're generous, what does God do? Look at Luke 16. It says this, and it's in your notes. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with a lot. So when you are trustworthy with the little things that God gives you, look at this. He says, I can trust you with more. And my prayer is that we will never trust the tickets. We'll never trust the stuff. We'll never trust the wealth, which it's so easy to do. Some of us think, oh, my peace, my safety, my security, it's going to come from, you know, all of this. No, no, no. We've got to change our perspective, and then we can have a proper understanding, a purpose behind our prosperity. I think this is important.
I love that, Pastor. You know, it's so funny that on our money, it says, in God we trust. So our money tells us to trust our God, but our God never tells us to trust our money. You better say amen right there. We are to trust in God, not money. You know, Satan, our spiritual enemy, loves to get us to serve money, to worship money, to put our trust in money to actually come under its power. But you cannot serve both God and money. It's okay to have money. It's not okay for money to have you. The love of money causes all kinds of troubles, all kinds of problems. And here's what I've come to realize, Pastor, that people who put their trust in money, people who love stuff, if they fall in love with money, it ends up causing them more pain than they can bear. And I know most of us would probably say, well, you know, Pastor, that's good, but I don't love money. I appreciate it, but I don't love money. I don't put my trust in money. But can I just tell you, I may not know you, but I know people enough to know that most of the time, that is the case. I got to disagree. Most of us love money. Most of us do put our trust in wealth. So the question becomes, if putting my trust in stuff, in money, can cause spiritual issues, the question becomes, how do I know if I'm really trusting money or if I'm trusting God? Well, Pastor Ben, today we're going to look at a few things. In fact, we're going to do some math today. We're going to call it money math. I've got three equations that I want you to break down for us that are going to help us determine whether or not we're trusting in money or whether we're trusting in God. And here's the first one. You ready? The first one is this. More money does not equal more satisfaction. More money does not equal more satisfaction. In other words, people who love and trust money never have enough of it.
Yeah.
Many people think having more money leads to more satisfaction, but that couldn't be further from the truth. Pastor, break that down for us.
Yeah, so more money, we're not saying don't have more money by any means. Right. What I'm saying, more money does not equal more satisfaction. Right. In fact, a person that believes that will end up singing, I can't get no satisfaction. I mean, that's the reality. Ecclesiastes 5 says this, verse 10, it says, whoever loves money never has enough. And look at this, whoever loves wealth is never satisfied. I can't get no satisfaction. They're never satisfied with their income. And I see, and listen, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. Yeah, I'll talk to you, but I'm preaching to myself because the reality is I see myself all over this. If I had more, then I'm going to be happier. If I had more, I'd feel more secure. If I had more, I'd be more satisfied. But notice it says what? You aren't satisfied. When you love money, that's what it says. When you love money, you're never satisfied. When you love stuff, you're never satisfied. And I don't know how this plays out in your life, but for me, I'll tell you, I often think if I had more, then I could get more, then I could be more happy. I even feel that way about stuff we do. Like if we could get more, then we'd be happier. And the reality is, maybe we're just like those kids and their tickets. You know, if I could get more prizes, then I'd be happier.
Right.
And let me just be real practical, okay? I enjoy technology. I'm happy we got it and whatever. And I remember, you remember your first iPhone's like, man, this is everything, man. I got it. I don't need anything else. And then this one, and then that one, then the iPhone, remember? And then the iPhone, you know, X, and then until the iPhone 11. And then, you know, I'm going to be happy with this. This is good. I'm satisfied with this. I'm good. And then the 11, and then it's like, okay, oh, the 12, and then the 12, and then the 12 Pro Max. And then I just found out, like, the 13's not even out yet, but they know how to tell. It's like, it's coming. And then all of a sudden, you look at your phone, I think it's almost time for a new phone. I don't even think I'm down with this phone. Are y'all getting it? It don't work like it used to. And why do I feel like my stack of tickets isn't good enough? It isn't big enough. And I'm always thinking, I've got to get a bigger stack of tickets. And if I get more, then I'm gonna be okay. I'll feel secure. Right. But when I start to get a bigger stack of tickets, here's the problem. My trust transfers from my father to my stack.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the problem. Our trust transfers from my father, my good father, who says, I'll always take care of you, trust me, to my stack, my little stack. And do you know how much money you need to be totally secure? I'll tell you the answer, because you talk to somebody right now and says, what do you mean? Well, I make $30,000. Well, what would make you secure? Yeah. If I just had 55. Watch this. If I ask somebody who makes 55, what do you need to be secure? They'd say, I just need 60. What do you need to be secure? I just need 120. What do you need? I just need 150. Watch. The point is this. What do you need to be secure? You know what it is? More than what you have right now.
Come on.
That's what people think. I just need more than what I have right now. And Proverbs 18 says this. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. He's made his wealth, his riches, his strong city. Wow. High wall in his own imagination. Meaning this. Some of you think, boy, I'm building a wall. But that wall is only in your own imagination. We think if our wealth could just be big enough, then we'd be safe. It is totally deceiving. But Paul said this. I'm content. And I think it's Philippians said, I'm content. And I've learned to be content whether I have a little. And I've learned to be content even if I got a lot. The point is this. I don't find my contentment in what I don't have or what I do have. I find my contentment in Jesus. Are y'all getting this today? I'm telling you, this changes everything.
That's a word, Pastor. And I got to be honest. I find myself thinking, you know, if I just had more. Pastors, can we just talk for a minute? If I just had more people, if we just had more stuff, if I just had more. And my goodness, the more stuff. It's like Biggie said, more money, more problems. Come on, somebody. We got all kinds of stuff we're dealing with. Satisfaction does not come from stuff. It does not come from money. No matter how much stuff we get, how much money we have, that stuff can never be the source of our satisfaction. We have got to be satisfied in Christ and Christ alone. Nothing wrong with the stuff until it becomes your source. We got to trust Jesus. Well, Pastor, let's keep going, because the second equation I want you to unpack for us is this one. It's a myth. But listen to this. More money does not equal more peace. Let me say it like this. People who love and trust money can have money in the bank, but no peace in their heart. No sanity. You can have money in your bank, but not have peace in your heart. This is a big one, because culture teaches us that with money comes security, and with security comes peace.
It's definitely a great blessing to have money. I mean, we're not saying it's not, but what I'm telling you is this. I want to say it another way. People may have lots of tickets, but no peace. At Proverbs 15:16 said this. Listen to this. Boy, you talk about simplicity. And I really think this past year, it's like some of us are learning again. I was talking to somebody this week. I was out and about and talking to somebody, I think at a restaurant, just somebody we were talking, and saying, boy, this year, just saying, I'm just learning what's really important this year. There were things that I thought, there's just simple things that I'm realizing that are just so important. And look at what Proverbs says. The wise man says this. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with a whole lot of turmoil. Come on. And here's what's crazy. Many of us, here's what's wild. You have more right now than your grandparents did. If your grandparents or some of your parents saw what you had, they would lose. You have more than your grandparents, yet you're more miserable.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, many of you, week one, I talked about the rich line. Go back and listen to it. You've crossed that line, but our stack of tickets has gotten larger in many ways, but your peace has not. You know where I saw this? When we were traveling a few years ago, I think we did a trip. We were in Haiti, took a team there. And I'm telling you, it just blew me away. I went into some places where I'm telling you, people were happy and smile. I'm sitting here depressed and upset about stuff. They have nothing, smile. We're trying to bring things to them. They're blessing me. I just didn't get it. It's like these kids, you know, laughing and enjoying life. And I'm sitting here stressed. I'm going, what in the world? My point is this. The reality is many of us may have achieved financially more than even we thought possible, yet we're miserable, we're under financial pressure all the time, and then you got these people in other places, and the reality, they don't even have one third of what you have, and they can't figure out why you are financially stressed.
That's right. That's a word.
It's because we're consumed by all of this stuff. Consumed. The fact of the matter is we're the one consuming all of this stuff that God's blessed us with. We have no margin Our minds have gone crazy. I mean, we're getting more, hoarding more, collecting, and we're consumed with getting more and more to make us happy. And we've got this, you know, the look. Yes, you do. You got the, you know, you got a little income now. You got a little apartment. You got a little house. You got some toys, and yet you're miserable. Why? Because we've been deceived. We've been tricked. And what does the Bible say? You cannot serve both God and mammon, money. And what that's talking about is the spirit of mammon, the spirit of mammon behind money. Money's not right or wrong. It's neutral. All it does is reveal who you already are. I mean, I can take money, use it for evil. I can take money and do good. I can take money and you know, ruin my life. I take money and build a hospital, build an orphanage, build a church. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's the spirit of mammon, the spirit of mammon. Some of you, that's what you're controlled by. If I said something like this, y'all, we're going on a missions trip. We're gonna go build an orphanage. I want you to come with me. And the first thing you would think, this is the spirit of mammon. First thing, can I afford that? I don't know. Can I afford? You never asked, God, do you want me to go on that? The first thought is, well, I couldn't go because I can't afford. Why? It's the spirit of mammon. Everything you think about is through, do I have enough? Demand. Demand. And what I'm saying, listen, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. Matter of fact, you shouldn't be unhappy about what I'm saying. You should be happy, because the reality is, if it's not more money that brings more peace, then the reality is there's times I have more, there's times I have less. But I've learned that the great news is this, that you know, unlike the old stock market, Jesus is always favorable. My point is this, there's some up times, there's some low times, but Jesus is still good enough. Are y'all getting this? And he's good enough in my low times, he's good enough when I got enough, he's good enough. And he says, I've got everything you need for life and for godliness. And I am your peace. As a matter of fact, lift up your hands. In the name of Jesus, I declare over you now your peace. Jesus is your peace. You don't find peace in anything else. He's called the Prince of Peace. I speak peace to your financial storm right now in the name of Jesus. As a matter of fact, I speak peace to your financial storm in the name of Jesus. May you shift your eyes and may you see that he says, I am enough. I am your peace in the middle of a storm. In Jesus' name, if you believe it and receive it, clap your hands, give God praise, and get ready for increase. He's enough.
Come on, Jesus. Come on.
Rest in that reality.
You know, I used to think we were called consumers because we consume stuff, but now I believe they call us that because we're consumed by stuff, Pastor. Mm. And I just want to confess to you, Pastor, the moment you talked about that mission trip, the first thing I thought was, how much is it going to cost me? I got to be honest. Listen.
I know. You already talked to me about it.
We got to keep moving.
Oh, you don't want to talk about it in these counseling chairs?
if it were to recline a little bit, I'd feel real comfortable. Listen, let's deal with this last piece, because this is one that I believe, boy, we've missed this in church culture. And here's the third equation I want you to unpack for us. And I want everybody to listen, because this is a big one. Here we go. Number three, more money does not equal more generosity. In fact, people that love and trust money have an increasingly more difficult time being generous. Explain to us, Pastor, why having more money doesn't mean I'm more generous.
Okay, most of us, what have I taught you? Most of us feel, it's all about feel. We feel like we don't have enough. And here's what happens. A lot of people start thinking, well, if I just had the house, if I just had the car, if I just had the income, if I just had the savings, then all of my problems would be taken care of. Well, when you think that way, you're under the influence of money. You're under its power. You're serving it rather than it serving you. And money doesn't make things. Okay, in many ways, money can help make some things better, but money doesn't make everything better. Watch this. You can have all the money in the world and still have your kids in rehab. You can have all the money in the world and still have hell at home. You can have all the money. I mean, to think, well, it's going to solve everything. Really? Listen to what I'm saying. You can have a lot of money and not be able to heal a disease. There's people with a lot of money that are still sick. I mean, listen to what I'm saying. More money won't give you peace of mind. You think it will, but it won't. You're being deceived. So when you could give generously, you don't, because you fear something, because we have a demand mindset. So watch, we're just like little kids. We fear, I got to be careful, because if I break off some of my tickets,
come on,
then I'm starting to lose my tickets. You know what that's called? A demand mindset. Watch this. Well, I'm not going to have enough tickets. All I'm going to have is just a few tickets in my hand. Don't you miss this. Jesus didn't have a demand mindset. He had a supply mindset. Don't miss this. When all he was handed, a little fish and little loaves, had a little Chick-fil-A. Had a little Chick-fil-A. That's all he had, was a little Chick-fil-A. And he had a little Chick-fil-A in his hand. You know what he did? He took what was in his hand. He took the little in his hand, and he didn't curse it like we do. He blessed it. And he lifted up his eye. And doesn't mean he looked into heaven. I mean, he peered into another realm. It's called the realm of faith. And he took the little in his hand, and here's what he did. He didn't curse it. He blessed it. And watch what God did. When he blessed it, God multiplied it. Don't miss this. And there was more than enough for everyone else. If y'all are getting this, give God praise. That's called supernatural increase. And I speak it over your life in the name of Jesus. Say it out loud. Lift up your hand, Calvary. I don't care if you're online. Say, in Christ, I've got supernatural increase. Now, if you believe it, give God praise like you do.
Come on.
So good. Well, I can't break off, you know, just a few little tickets, because if I do, then I'm going to lose. It's going to disappear. So many of you have heard me talk about generosity. You've heard preach it, you know. And the fact of the matter is, people are good believers. And we'll say things like this. Well, I believe it. It's probably right. I mean, a lot of stuff we hear in Scripture is probably right. I appreciate what you're doing, Pastor. It's okay. But you telling me that God wants me to trust him and give what's first, no way, I can't do that. I got to build my stack. The problem is that stack will never seem big enough. And here's what's crazy to me. If you think that having more is going to make you generous, let me tell you something. If you got a little and you're not generous and you're struggling there, and you get more, you think it's going to be easier? Let me tell you something. People think, well, look at them. They have stuff, so I know they're the big giver in the church. Do you want to know what I realize? That I have watched single moms give more to what God has called this house to do than many times people that you think, well, look at them. They would give more. I've seen people that have very little. If you're going to talk percentage, give everything. It would be nothing to someone with money. But understood what it meant to trust God. And this is a heart issue. What we're dealing with is a heart issue. And you don't solve heart issues when it comes to money. When you're dealing with greed, that's a heart issue. And if you're going to deal with a heart issue, you got to have a heart solution. And the solution is generosity.
Well, generosity. Well, absolutely. Listen to what Paul says in his letter to the Church of Corinth. He says, so let each one give as he.
Wait before you read this. Before you read this, please. Because here we are in our culture. And we think, well, I'm not rich.
Right.
I want you to read the 2 Corinthians 8 piece.
Okay.
Jump just a little bit. Because we think we're not rich. So we say, well, I'm not rich, I'm poor. Well, American poor.
You say I'm not rich
while you're drinking a Starbucks.
Totally different poor.
You say you're not rich while you're holding $1,000 phone in your hand.
Because you're a month behind on Netflix subscription.
Yeah, I'm not rich because I couldn't pay my Netflix. It's called American rich. What are you talking about?
Oh.
You say you're not rich, yet you walked to a closet today and could pick what you wanted to wear.
Come on.
You got to choose what you wanted to wear. That's American poor. I'm talking to you. I'm broke, but got your hair done this week. And nails. And if we're not, we try to look like we got it.
Come on.
My point is this. But when Paul writes to the church.
Here it is.
Look what he says to the church. And they're not American poor.
No,
you're talking
poor.
Dirt poor.
This is po.
Okay.
P-O. You ain't got the O-R on it.
Read it. Just read the text. I don't need a comedian. Just read the text.
He says in the midst, y'all. In the midst of a very severe trial.
2 Corinthians 8.
Are you kidding? In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Not in their good seasons, not in when the market was good, in their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability entirely on their own.
I don't believe that. I'll give when.
I'll give when.
I don't believe that. I'll give when.
I'll give when my car is paid off.
I'll give when.
I'll give when I get a promotion.
I'll start trusting God when.
When I have enough money in the bank that I feel okay with giving.
I'll give when.
When I get my student loans paid off.
I'll give when.
Here's the problem, Pastor. Jesus never said, I'll give when.
What did he say?
I'll give. He said, give now. Jesus said, give now. Listen to Matthew 6.
Generosity.
Verse 30. He says, don't be so preoccupied with getting.
Wait a second. There's something on this. I need those of you that have been consumed by anxiety and fear about your tickets and not having enough. I want you to read that because this is Jesus. And not having enough and you're looking at what's in your hand. I want you for a moment, get your eyes out of this realm. Don't even take notes. Don't look at the notes. I want you to lift up your head, take a deep breath right now. I'm serious. And I want you to listen to what Jesus is saying to you right now. Read the text.
Don't be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you, church, you, Calvary, you fill in your name in the blank, know both God and how he works. So steep your life in God reality, God initiative, and God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. Stop looking at everybody else and thinking, oh, I'm missing this, I'm missing that. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met.
You believe that, church? Clap your hands and give God praise if you receive that. That's trust. I've put together a little declaration. I want all of us to say this together. It's simply this. I'll read it first. God has blessed me with more than enough. I am rich. Can you say that? I will not trust in riches. Look at this. But in him who richly provides. Lift up your hands. Let's say it together. You ready? 1, 2, 3. God has blessed me with more than I need. I am rich. I will not trust in riches, but in him who richly provides. How many, I'm going to stand up real quick. Hold this for me. I want to do something before we walk out of here. How many of y'all remember the trust fall? Remember in school? Do y'all remember this? Wave at me if you remember the trust fall. Wave at me. Or like the camp you went to, or the business team building deal, right? It's called the trust fall. I need some of you real quick. Run up here real quick. I need some good looking larger brethren. I don't know if I want you up here. Real quick. No, stay here. Stay here. Stay here. Stay here. So the trust fall. You remember? So I don't see you. I don't see you. You don't see. Watch. And the trust fall is that I'm going to trust the word of the people right here behind me. I've been told that many times in my life. And the trust fall is that I'm just going to trust that you have got me and I trust you and you literally just fall. You literally just lean back. You just trust. You trust that they're there and you trust that they've got you. And you just lean and you trust them. The trust fall. It's just simply, y'all, this better not go viral or something weird. Let me tell you something. Watch this. I just trust. I don't look at you. I just trust that they've got me. I feel like I'm at a Benny Hinn meeting right now. Give him praise and glory, saints. Give him praise. I just feel like I give him praise and glory. Just the trust for hallelujah. Okay, so, what? What are you talking about? What do you want to watch? Kim telling them, let me fall a little lower. Just don't mess my hair up. There's...
Ha. Oh!
Give it up for my catchers. Come on. Come on. Wow. Wow. Okay. So here's the deal before we walk out of this place. Watch this. It's called the trust fall because it requires you to trust that your support will honor their word. When it comes to being generous, everything we're talking about, especially in finance, it can seem exactly like that, a trust fall. It requires us to trust that God will honor his word. And I get it, church, for a moment, you saw it. You kind of look back. I got to look back and I got to just check. And I'm afraid. And it ran across my mind. Like I don't know. Are you going to trust me? Is this going to be embarrassing? Are you not going to come through? Is this going to turn viral? I mean, what is this? I mean, am I going to fail? And I'm afraid. And I know your word says this, but God, are you going to come through? And this stuff goes through my mind as someone running a movement, as in my own home, in my life. God, are you going to come through? Like, I'm going to take you at your word, and I'm going to do what you've told me to do, and I'm going to respond. But watch this. Sometimes I think as believers, we love singing songs, but I don't know if we really believe what we're saying. Right? And that's what I love about music. It means to muse. Music, muse. Do you know why I love worship? Because most of the time, I'm having you say things you don't even believe yet. So watch, we'll say stuff like, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the water wherever you take. I want to go where there's no borders. Really? Well, I just want to know, is the border 5% or 6% in generosity or 10%? Look at this. I just want to know, what's the border on the giving? I mean, I just want to know, what's the border? Spirit, lead me. Really? In every area of your life? Where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the water wherever you may lead me. Look at this. Take me deeper. Look what we're saying. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith, trust will be made stronger. Do you know one of the important aspects of our generosity? Watch, to build your trust in God. Do you know why some of us don't trust him? Because we've never taken him at his word. Before you start to fall, I wonder, is he going to catch you? There's been times, let me tell you something. When Kim and I started this, we got married 19 years old. We started, we said, God, we're going to trust you. And we've done it every year of our life, no matter what. Does it mean you've never gone through anything hard? You've never walked through financial difficult things? You've never, let me tell you something. We walked through something. I'll tell you stories. It looked like it was. Oh, did we stop trusting it? And now we can look back and say, there were some times it wasn't spectacular, but it was supernatural. And I'm telling you this, the first time that trust fall, no, I'm not going to do it. And I'd say, I refuse, I'm not volunteering. When they said, well, somebody volunteer. And I said, no, but I'll watch. And here's what's incredible. As I watched other people do it,
come on,
and I saw they were okay, I thought, maybe I will try. Look at my life. Look at our life. Look at the lives of believers. Look at them. Some of you are so afraid. Have you sat down with a believer? I'm not talking about a negative, bitter person who maybe calls himself a believer but don't trust God. Got a lot of negative things to say. I'm talking about somebody who really trusts God. Have you sat down with them and said, tell me about a time in your life when you trusted God. And I want to know. I want to see. Do you know what you're actually doing? You're saying, tell me about your trust fall. Tell me about how God caught you. Show me again because I want to be encouraged in it. That's why for me sometimes,
That's why it's been, and I'll be honest with you, church this year has been a little difficult for me personally because of just personal loss of men in my life. A man who fathered me for 25 years, Pastor Jadon George, who died, and a man who walked with me through some very difficult seasons, Bishop Tony Miller, who died and lost. And these were the men that I would call. And I would say, tell me about a trust fall. Because I need to know right now. What did you do? And the Spirit of the Lord talked to me after Tony Miller's funeral. And said, now it's time for you to be the example.
That's right.
But God, these fathering voices that have stayed faithful and trusted you, what do I do? He said, let them see. Look at me. As I follow Christ, and I don't know what tomorrow holds. But church, what have we said? I trust you. I trust you. And some of you are so anxious, and that lets you know where your trust is. It's not in him. Right now, I know I've gone over just a little bit, but there's such an anointing. Would you lift your hands in his presence right now and just receive? Hear his voice say, you can trust me. I'm no respecter of persons. If I did it for you, I'll do it for them. They're my children. For some of you, you don't realize you're cursing the very thing that God's teaching you to trust him. You say, it's been so hard. And he's saying to you right now, you don't understand. This is school where I'm taking you. You're learning to trust me. Don't curse this class. Don't curse this class or you'll take it again. Trust me. Trust me. Father, we're a church that wants to excel in every area in faith and love, in knowledge, what you know to be true about us and the gospel, in complete earnestness and kindness. But 2 Corinthians 8 says we also want to excel in the grace of giving. I prophesy a release in the name of Jesus as we trust you. I prophesy there will be supernatural increase in ways that we didn't even think of yet. There are people under the sound of my voice, whether in person or online right now, that are getting a holding of this revelation. And they're about to step in a place right now. I'm telling you things that you never thought possible. God said, you're going to see supernatural things. Supernatural things you never thought possible. I thank you, Lord. There's going to be doors open. I thank you, Lord. Increase, supernatural increase. Things that were not planned, things that we said it had to be done this way, but God said, you trusted me. And now there's a flow, there's a free flow, there's a free flow of my grace and my goodness. I thank you and I give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name. Pastor Ethan, are you out here?
Yes, sir.
I want you to sing that song, but before you do, because I want us to sing it together, before you do, and Pastor Brad, I want you to pray over every person here and online. Listen to me. We're going to respond right now as a church. I want us to sing that song together over our lives. But I want every one of us in this moment, watch this. If you've got the app right now, open it up. If you've got the app, because I'm doing something in 2 weeks I can't wait for. Down there at the bottom of the app, look at one word, Calvary Church CC in the app store. If you've got the app, open it up. One word, it says, be rich. Open it up. It's 2 Corinthians. And it says, I commit, listen to me, in 2 weeks. And the reason why I'm getting your name, and I don't care if you're in another state or around the world, I want your name because in 2 weeks, I am gonna fill this platform with every name that we've received. I'm filling it with every name, and our pastors and elders, we're gonna have a Sunday where I am going to pray over your families. We are gonna pray over your businesses. We're gonna begin to declare, we're kings, and we're going to use our mouths with authority, and we're going to begin to declare over your children and your finances and your future supernatural increase. That's why I want it. And while you're there right now, and before we sing this song, I want every one of us to say, God, I trust you in our generosity. And it's not just now, but it's this year, 2021. I trust you. I can't trust the system. I trust you right now, every person, wherever you are, in person, online. Prepare your generosity right now, whether it's envelope, whether it's digital, whether it's texting. Thank you to those of you this year that have just said, I set up my reoccurring gift. Did you know those of you? We're still here today because of people. We've prospered this year. I wish our CFO could come up here and talk about what you've done this year as a church because of faithful people who just said, God, I trust you and I give. And God has prospered them and tended to them. And it's like a father saying, thank you for trust. I just wanted you to see how good I... Thank you, church. So as we give right now, we're going to begin to sing this song. But before we give, pray over these people right now and online. Pray for them.
Father, we just thank you so much for the gift of Jesus. The one that we trust in, the one that we turn to, the one that we lean upon for all things. You are our provider. You are our source. It's not our stuff. It's not our money. It's not our careers. It's not our paychecks. It is you, Jesus. For in you we find all things. And I thank you that today we get to participate in generosity, blessing those around us because you have blessed us. I pray that you would give us a sense of wisdom and courage to trust in your word and to move in discernment in a radical way where generosity is expressed in every area of our lives. As we steward our talents, our treasure, and our time, we move in amazing generosity as an example and ambassadors of your kingdom. Lord, I thank you for this movement known as Calvary. I thank you for the vision you've placed in the hearts of our pastors and the provision that we operate in to see all the dreams that you've placed in our hearts.
In the name of Jesus.
And the mission of this ministry shall come to pass as we continue to carry the gospel to everyone, every day, everywhere. And we promise to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for all of it. In Jesus' name we pray.
Let's Amen. Give to the Lord online, in person, and while we're doing it, say these words right now. Come on.